Your goal in this step is to prepare for the conversation. Number one, sort out what happened. Here you need to figure out where your story about what happened came from. What information do you have? Are past experiences coloring your view of the situation? Then, determine what the impact the situation has had on you and what their intentions might have been. Quite often, we get the intentions of the other side wrong. Finally, you need to figure out how you both contributed to the problem. Figuring out how they contributed is usually the easy part. Figuring out your contribution is usually a bit tougher. If you're struggling with it, you might consider how a dispassionate observer would view the entire issue, or put yourself in the shoes of the other person. Number two, understand the emotions. Here, you need to explore your emotions about the issue so that you can put them on the table. Are you feeling angry, hurt, shame, fear, self-doubt? If this is a difficult conversation, there is some emotion that you are dealing with, and it's critical for you to identify it. At the same time, your goal here isn't to vent. It's to frame the feelings so that they help your counterpart understand where you're coming from. Number three, identify your identity issues. Lastly, you need to identify your identity issues as they relate to the conversation. Consider what's at stake in this conversation for you, about you. What do you need to accept in order to be better grounded in this conversation? Step number two, check your purposes and decide whether to raise it. Next, we move on to the purpose of the conversation. Consider what you hope to accomplish by having the conversation. Once you've done that, here are some questions to ask yourself to determine if the conversation is worth having. First, does your purpose make sense? Make sure it's possible to produce the outcome in the conversation. Sometimes, when you're forced to articulate the outcome, you'll realize that you can't actually accomplish it, or that the short-term gain isn't worth the long-term cost. Typically, there are three purposes that make sense. A, learning their story. B, expressing your views and feelings. And C, problem solving together. Second, is the real issue inside you? Sometimes what's difficult about a situation has more to do with what's going on inside you rather than the other person. Third, is there a better way to address the issue rather than talk about it? Sometimes the more appropriate path is not a difficult conversation, but a change in behavior. If you get beyond those questions and are still ready to go, there are some liberating assumptions you should take into the conversation. It's not my responsibility to make things better. It's my responsibility to do my best. They have limitations too, and this conflict is not who I am. Now that we're ready, let's jump into having the actual conversation. Step three, start from the third story. As the authors point out, the most stressful moment of a difficult conversation is typically the beginning. But this is also where the greatest leverage in a difficult conversation lies, so it's important to get it right. Our typical openings don't usually help, because we begin inside our own story. We describe the problem from our own perspective and trigger the kinds of reactions we are hoping to avoid. The right way to do it is to begin from the third story. This is the one a keen observer would tell who has no stake in the problem. Think of this person as a mediator and think about how they would describe the issue at hand. First, they would describe the problem as the difference between your stories. No matter what else you might think and feel, you can at least agree that you and the other person see things differently. There's no judgment about who is right or wrong, and each side gets to feel like their story is a legitimate part of the discussion. Remember, this doesn't mean giving up your own point of view. Second, share your purposes. If the other person is going to join you in this conversation, they need to know what they are agreeing to do. And third, invite them to join you as a partner in sorting out the situation together. A great line to use is, "I wonder if it would make sense," and then put in your statement. This allows the other person the choice to join the conversation or not. Now that they have joined you in the conversation, it's time to explore each other's stories. Step four, explore their story and yours. Listening. As you begin to listen to their side of the story, your mindset is critical. The authors suggest that you start with a stance of creativity. There are three skills that you can bring into the conversation that will help you do that. The first is inquiry. Ask questions, but only to understand, not cross-examine. In particular, ask a lot of questions that will help you understand the three conversations within the conversation from their side. For instance, can you say a little bit more about how you see things? Can you say a little bit more about how you see things? What information might you have that I don't? What impact have my actions had on you? How are you feeling about this? Say more about why this is important to you, and what would it mean to you if that happened? The second skill is to paraphrase for clarity, and the third skill is to acknowledge their feelings. Here are some phrases that you can use to help. It sounds like you're really upset. This seems really important to you. If I were in your shoes, I'd probably feel confused too. Remember, acknowledging is not agreeing. You can still disagree with them after you acknowledge them. Once you feel that you understand their story, you can move on to telling yours. Communicating. The other person also needs to hear your story. There are a few guidelines to keep in mind while sharing your side of the story. First, don't present your conclusions as the truth. Say what you mean and avoid easing into the issue, but don't make it seem like you've closed your mind off to their side of the story. Second, share where your conclusions come from. This is where your feelings and past experiences come to mind. Third, don't exaggerate with always and never. It's typically not true, which hurts your credibility and gets the other person even more defensive about their side of the story. Here are some concrete suggestions on what ground you might cover while sharing your story. Explore where each story comes from. For instance, you might say, "My reactions here probably have a lot to do with my experience in a previous job." Share the impact on you. For instance, you might say, "I don't know whether you intended this, but I feel extremely uncomfortable when..." Take responsibility for your contribution. For instance, you might say, "There are a number of things I've done that have made this situation harder." Describe feelings. For instance, you might say, "I'm anxious about bringing this up, but at the same time, it's important to me that we talk about it." And reflect on identity issues. For instance, you might say, "I think the reason this subject hooks me is that I don't like to think of myself as someone who blank." Reframing. Most people coming into these difficult conversations will not be as skilled as you are, and so it's natural that they will get off track. When the other person heads in a destructive direction, your job is to reframe an unhelpful statement into a helpful one. For instance, you can say something like, "I can see that you're feeling really angry about what I did, which is upsetting to me. It wasn't my intention. Can you say more about how you felt?" Step number 5, problem solving. Of course, the whole purpose of having a difficult conversation is to solve the problem, which you can do better together than either of you can do on your own. There are 3 things to keep in mind as you go through this step. First, you should invent options that meet each side's most important concerns and interests. This should be obvious. Second, if there are no obvious solutions that immediately spring to mind, look to standards about what should happen. There might be a precedent set for these types of disagreements that you can rely on. And third, talk about how to keep communication open as you go forward. Make sure you utilize all the difficult conversation skills you've learned as you take it across the finish line. So in conclusion, there you have it. Everything you need in order to start having difficult conversations with ease and clarity.